Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 33, verses 1, 3, and 4. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth.
Just before prayer, I want to thank you for your prayers as I enjoy myself with another 600-700 men in the Bible conference in the high mountains there of Sonora. Amazing enough, as the gospel was presented through the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1, chapter 2, I preach 7 verses at a time, 3-hour service, and we were able to chat with the congregation and find out these pastors and deacons were saved or not. And 23 of them profess Christ Jesus that day, that they found it as I presented the scripture. And I'm just thrilled to know that Christ can reach even pastors and can, at a moment given in their life, the scripture will bring their heart into the presence of Christ. So I thank you for your prayers. We enjoy it. After we eat like crazy, and all Mexican food, and we went to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning. Wise were not there, so there is a beautiful auditorium in the mountains, and we have a Puerto Rican choir director with the Philharmonic of Ontario there, and they have Puerto Rican music, you know, salsa, sambas, and so on, all with Christian songs, and we really enjoy singing at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, the real Spanish style. You sleep during the day, you live in the night. All right. Lord, we thank you that our church is a church who believe like King Solomon when he finished the temple. He prayed that all the earth may know that Jehovah is God and there is none else. And Father, because of that, I have the privilege to enjoy 2 weeks of preaching with men who were able to go home and have the pulpit of the ministry of deaconship and teach others about Jesus and about the reality of life, about that concern that Nehemiah had for himself, about the concern for others, and about the concern of the city of God. And so, Father, we pray that as we minister in Bethel, that we may grow in that kind of concern. The other peoples around here in the town of Morgan Hill, over the internet, over the radio ministry, they may know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Father, we are grateful for missionaries. Missionaries who are able to preach as well. For Fred and Carol Lewis and his recovery. For Carol and Ruth Knott. For Eusebio and Maritza Perez. For David and Denise Rhodes. For Giovanni and Barbara Avendano. For Marta Ferretti. For the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center. For the Christian Athletic Association. And for Daniel and Miriam Lacey. And we pray, Lord, that as we navigate the new year and the church year, we may add one, two, or three more missionaries, because we are not the only one who preach the gospel, there are others. And we want the people to know Jesus, because the scripture said that when the gospel of this kingdom will be preached around the world, and the last person be reached, then Christ will come. Thank you, Father. Now, Lord, it's a good day today, and it's a sad day. A family who has been a cornerstone in music in our church is moved, actually, by you to another place. And we all pray that wherever the Dulilos go, they may go with a testimony of their joy of the Lord in their heart as they share this gift of music that the Lord has placed in them. And for Shelley, Father, who remained with us, we pray that we cover her with prayers, that you put an umbrella upon her lives to be protected, and let the Dulilos know that we care for her as our own daughter. Thank you, Lord, that you allow me as a pastor to enjoy people like that for a season, and they go. Lord, we send them out with the power of God. We pray for Ken, for wisdom and direction, and for Marilyn strongly, that you will uphold her and give her a ministry as well. Thank you, Lord, for being today a first day of the week where we're going to remind ourselves that Jesus died for our sins through the Lord's Supper. And may the preaching of thy word reach the hearts of people. Lord, protect our president. He has been in hostile territory. We live in hostile territory every day in the world. And Father, we never know this, but our president was notorious in those 2 or 3 or 4 days away from here. And Father, protect him, bring him back. And Lord, I pray with all my heart that the new judge selected for the Supreme Court be approved, that we may have a man who go back to the Constitution as it was written and interpret the Constitution on the intentions of the writer, as we do in the Scripture. Father, we do not read the Scripture and say, well, it was written in this way, but it means this. Crooks do that. We are no crooks. We are a country full of joy, a country who is still your country, and we pray for your mercy and protection. Bless the offering. And bless the giver. And Lord, thank you that your people love the ministry that they give for the support. In Jesus we pray and thank you. Amen.
Deeper than the mighty rolling sea.
Wonderful.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel according to John.
If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 622. We will be reading John chapter 1, verses 43 through 51. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word. John chapter 1, verses 43 through 51. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. And Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Believe before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Blessed is God's word. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you that we have received the greatest blessing we could possibly receive in this life, and that is to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. We marvel at the extent of your graciousness to sinners such as we are. We thank you for your word, that we may know you and believe you, knowing that every word is true. We thank you for all those who have been called before us, and that we have found you also, knowing that realistically the Lord Jesus Christ mercifully found us before we found him. We praise you for such an enduring salvation. We are grateful to you for those men who preached from this pulpit for the last two Sundays. We are very pleased that your servant, our pastor Gabriel Otero, has returned from speaking at this large Christian conference and is with us today. And we pray, Father, that you would renew his body, Father, that you would restore him to good health. Bless him and guide him as he comes to expose your word. May we give our full attention to the word preached, even as we learned from our Sunday school lesson today in the book of Nehemiah, how the Israelites gave full attention to Ezra when your word was read and preached. For things like these, we pray and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother Ken. And I just want to, something you know well, because you were informed by letter. Tonight, we will say goodbye to the Dolillo family. They are taking 1 year break from our church. That's what I pray. It's funny. God, I pray for them to stay, and I pray for Brother Russ. I say, Lord, stop any sales, stop anything, bring storms on their life, but don't let it go. Well, Russ has to stay for another year, and the Dolillos go. That's the sovereignty of God, don't we? The Dolillos sold their house before I finished prayer, and the Russell cannot sell the house. And that he doesn't know, I go around the house and I pray. All right. Dolillo is saved because he was too far away. But come tonight. We're going to have the joy of learning how to leave a church properly. And Pastor will speak to that. And then I want you to speak and to tell the Dolillos how much you have meant to them and to this church together. I beg you to come and to have the greatest moments of our life. I know the choir will sing, some people will do other things, but this is the way, when you have to leave a church, this is the way to do it properly. And through the big door that they come in, the big door will send them out to be missionaries in some place where mysteriously God moved them and will do that. I'm glad that we have Shelley left here. I don't know for how long, but she will be left here. And again, I want to let the family know that she had one daddy before. Now she has 50 daddies looking on Shelley. Please turn your Bible to the reading today on John chapter 1. I would like to start a series of studies in leaving interviews. Leaving interviews. As we read through the Gospels, and as you read the Gospels, and study our Lord's leaving with men and women, we become impressed that his priority were not their homes, were not their status, but his priority always was people. Our preoccupations are so often with things, our homes, our cars, our business, our pleasures. But here is someone who is intensively interested in people. Actually, he's interested in you. Our first of these fascinating interviews is with a man who has two names. One in one language, another name in the other. You maybe knew him as Bartholomew, but he is Nathanael. Nathanael, El at the end, is God, a gift of God is his name. If we look at his background, belief, and behavior, we will be convinced that Nathanael was a genuine religionist. He followed the religion of Israel. But even with all his wonderful ideals, something was missing in his life. He was inwardly dissatisfied. Something preoccupied to this true Israelite. He lacks some liberty. He lacks the victory as he wait and wait and wait, according to prophecy, for the appearance of the Messiah. That was in his heart. He knew all the theology that needed to be known, and you will see what kind of theology he knew, and I want to show you. He had all the power to reason in the Old Testament, and he knew that the Messiah will come. And the Messiah was at his feet, and he cannot see it. Thank God that God takes the initiative to interview our life. And you are here today because God wants you to know that Messiah. You are listening to my broadcast because God wants you to hear this Messiah. And for the television network, Ministerios Cristianos, who is broadcasting with us through the internet, this service, for those Spanish people who know English, God wants you to know Christ. Now, let's observe three things about the passage that we read, how this man ended up to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. You will see it at the end. How this man, who knew nothing about the Messiah, knew every theological position that he could, but he knew nothing about the Messiah, how this man ended up to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus, and how this man was seething when the Holy Spirit came and blessed them. You will see it all through the scripture this morning. How come I'm here, I know nothing about Christ, and now I'm here serving Christ? What happened? This is what I want you to know. Number one, for this interview, there was a divine preparation. And that covers verse 45. A divine preparation. I read the verse and I break the verse for you. Actually, I'm going to read from verse 43 so that you know what's happening. Let me read verse 41. Jesus is coming to pick up his people, like always does. And look at the success. The success that we have in the conference. We had no idea. I had no idea. I had no preach, quotation mark, the gospel per se. But the life of Nehemiah have impressed the life of some pastors. And they turned to Christ. And God made it well. Look at verse 41. He first findeth his own brother Simon and said unto him, we have found the Messiah. That was the key. You need a Savior. You need to find that Savior, which is being interpreted Christ. And brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go for into Galilee and find Philip and said unto him, follow me. And now Philip was a Bethsaida of the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. Now he knew how to talk to Nathanael. Nathanael was a Bible believing man. He was not saved yet. He had not found God, but he respected the Bible. And so Philip was a great evangelist. He met people at different levels and talked to people how much they knew, then Philip will talk. He knew that if he talked this language, Nathanael would pay attention. We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophet did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Now, let's break the text. Let's put it together. Look at the presentations of Christ. Philip did not speak of some experience, but a person. There are some people who you ask him and say, are you a Christian? Oh yes, I have a dream and I found God. Other people will say, I speak in a tongue that no even myself know and I found God. That's what happened. Philip do not say, you know, I was listening to something and I started jumping and I knew the Spirit of God was with me. He didn't. He introduced a person. A person. Nathanael knew about the Messiah. He knew theology, but need to meet the Messiah Christ and believe in him. Now, what did Nathanael knew? Well, I can go over for 2-3 hours, but just let me go to Deuteronomy 18:15, page 129. Deuteronomy is the last book of Moses, chapter 18 and verse 15. And look at what he knew about the Messiah. Why was this man, this true Jew person, expecting the Messiah? Moses told the people, after he told the second time the law in chapter 12, he said in Deuteronomy chapter 18, and in verse 15, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. Now this is what you read Acts 7 and you have a 9-10 reference of how the old people in the Old Testament were informed by the prophets that the Messiah should come. And remember what Moses said. Of our own people, he will come. And so Nathanael was not a bad scholar. He was expecting that from Israel, somebody is going to be raised up to be the Messiah. Now, what about you? Do you expect a new president to change the economy? Do you expect a new Congress to improve our nation? Or do you expect Jesus to change your life? Have you met him? Have you met Jesus? That is the key. You maybe come to church. You maybe do all kinds of things in your life with respect to religion, but have you met Jesus? That's the key. I'm not asking you, are you a Baptist or Methodist, or who cares about that? The key is, have you met Jesus? And that was Nathanael's concern. I have a scripture here, and when is this person going to come? Now, look at the invitation to Christ in verse 46. And Nathanael said unto him, he now is going to answer Philip. He's going to talk theologian to theologian. And the evangelist, you know, always is loose, is happy. And the theologian is always sad because he need to know something that you don't know. All right? And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? See, he has some theological mind already. The Messiah will come. And you know those people who try to study the Bible and see in the Bible the things that the Bible doesn't say, they get into this kind of trouble. The Bible doesn't, did not specifically in detail said, the Bible tell us in Isaiah where the Messiah is going, what city, Bethlehem of Judea, where the Messiah will be. Micah speak about it. But somewhere Nathanael was a little confused. And in one sense, he said, well, here is Bethlehem of Judea, and here is Nazareth. Nazareth doesn't have a college. Nazareth don't have a junior college. Nazareth has some, you know, that's it. Some ships, don't confuse with a boat. All right. This is what happened. And so the man very properly said, has anything good come out of Nazareth? Now, what do you say to a guy like that who is so sharp? You say only one thing. What Philip said. Look at what Philip said. Come and see. Come and see. I wonder if we as Christians have invited some people to see Christ. I wonder. You know, in a Bible conference with pastor, it's very difficult. Everybody have their own mind and their own theology. I'm glad that the introduction, they say, here is a doctor of doctors, so they respected me. it's difficult. Everybody have their own agenda. Everybody have their own belief. And everybody is worried when Christ is coming. And so I finish the conference, and I will go to my room there in the big cafeteria, and those Americanos were so good in serving us until maybe 12 midnight, talking in tables with people. They want to know details of the Bible. And my question was, have you met Jesus Christ? But if you met him, he will tell you. You read the scripture, he will tell you. Don't tell me what so-and-so said. Don't tell me what this book said. Just read the scripture. Have you met Christ? Read the scripture. The scripture will guide you everything you need to know. And for each one of us, maybe we discover different things, but God is on it. And as you read the scripture, the first thing God wants you to know is come to see Jesus. You cannot know prophecy unless you met Jesus. It's just amazing. Come and see. Have you invited anyone to see Christ? Or just to talk about theology, Bible study, and so on? What people need today is to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Like Nathanael wanted to see the Messiah. So divine preparation. Here is a theologian. Here is a religious person. By a simple fisherman, Philip. You will see later on, he was a fisherman. And the fisherman was empowered by God. And he just nailed down Nazareth to the corner. Now, how this guy, who is so argumentative, and that's the question the pastors asked me in the conference. How can people know Jesus who are so argumentative, pastor? You have to come to the city of Ontario. You have to come to the city of Los Angeles. Everybody, people, talks this and the other. How can they see Christ? I tell you, there is no difference how you're going to see Christ. There is no difference whether you live in Ontario, in Italy, or whatever. Here's the way you see Christ. Verse 47 and 48. There is a divine revelation to Nathanael. The Lord was meeting Nathanael at the level of his experience. Verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said to him, look at what Jesus said. Behold, because to you, I explained to you why these words are important to a Jewish person, not to an American. Behold, he said clearly, an Israelite. You think that's a word, a guy from the nation of Israel? No, so. We're reading the Bible, not the newspaper. I explain to you in a minute. Behold, an Israelite in thee. This is a true Israelite. In whom there is no guile, there is no deceit. Jesus was meeting Nathanael at the level of his experience. He talks to him on the basis of his knowledge of God. And met him, he met him just where he was. Jesus called him an Israelite indeed. Now, there are Israelites, like in Israel today, you call them Israelite. But you don't call them Israelite indeed. You are an Israelite indeed. Who is an Israelite indeed? Turn your Bible, please, to the Old Testament, to the book of Genesis. First book of the Bible, in page 22, chapter 32, 28, will explain what is in the word Israelite in the Bible. Genesis, chapter 32, verse 28, page 22. This is the big deal. This is when Jacob was running away from his deceit with his brother, and God go and met Jacob, and he fight with God. He don't want God to leave him. And look at what happened. And he said, the angel said to Jacob, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Israel. What is El? We know is God. Ish is man. So in modern English, this will be prince with God. That's the name Israel. El, God. Ish, man. Prince with God. You are one of mine. And so in a moment of time, the sovereignty of Christ was revealed to Nathanael. When Nathanael heard that, and he was a true and deep believer, and he heard that the man is saying, I see your heart, I know who you are, I know you are a true believer. The guy, how did he, this Jesus of Nazareth? No, even a grammar school over there, what's going on? That's what he said. But that guy without grammar, he comes and he looked to him and he called in Aramaic Nathanael, and then he said to him, you're really a true guy. I know your heart. No preacher can do that. Ladies and gentlemen, only God can do that. Only God can do that. And so in a moment, the sovereignty of Christ is irrefutable. This man knows something about me that even myself don't know. And then the Lord met Nathanael as God. Not only as a sovereign king, but as God. Look at verse 48. And Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? That's a proper question. How come? Where you found? What do you know about me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. Ladies and gentlemen, they were another town. When Philip talked and Jesus came, they were in another town. And Jesus is describing the tree, describing where he was. Like, an amazing. It's not that he's seeing him from here to Monterey Avenue. No, Jesus was in another town. He said, before everybody talks to you, I saw you under the tree. The key word in the text is, I saw you. Jesus has seen, known, and analyzed Nathanael long before Philip called him.
Long before Philip said to Jesus, will you come and visit with Nathanael? Before that, Jesus saw Nathanael. Again, that's something a pastor cannot do. God can do that. Do you think you have left your life independently of God? Friends, God is God. We were laughing on the conference because they watch your Spanish and they watch Spanish people, they carefully measure your stature or level education by the way you talk Spanish. And it's when you are between doctors and this and the other, they talk a language that I don't think they understand what they're saying, but they talk in that way. And it's funny here. The people have arguments in their life thinking that their arguments, their education, their business is independent of God. We were saved not because we were smart enough to say, I'm going to church and I'm going to get saved. No, sir, no, that's not the way it happened. God is God. And He saved you in different manners. If I listen to the testimony of this church, how you were saved, everybody would tell me a different story because this is God. And in this church, and I told the congregation there that we have so many nationalities. It is amazing. There is nothing you can hide from God. Actually, He knows you better than yourself. Sometimes we can lie to ourselves. Sometimes we can say, well, it's not too bad. We brainwash our mind. But no, God, He knows you. He knows you. Christ knows you altogether. That is why you can get saved, by the way. You can find Jesus because He knows you. Because if Jesus doesn't know you, then, friend, you never can get saved. It's amazing. God knows you. That is a given. Now the question is, have you met Him through the Messiah, the Lord Jesus? And there were some Pentecostals, denominations, friends over there and they were asking me questions. They were very respectful. They were asking me questions. Where do we find Jesus? Was what? Where Nehemiah found help? Remember chapter 2? He was sad. The king was ready to kill him because he bring the glass of wine to him. And he saddened his heart for his people. And God used a negative expression to a positive reliance. Remember Nehemiah? God said to Nehemiah, the king said to Nehemiah, what's going on, Nehemiah? And Nehemiah spilled the beans. He said, now this is what happened. My people are in this way, blah, 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 blah. And he just trembled. And the king said, can I help you? Bush meets you in the street and you have to make payments. And he said, can I help you? He said, oh, my friend, come in. That's what happened. But where you can find God? That was a great question. I mean, little things that we know in our church, there were great questions there. How can you find God? Where? And some people have ideas. Always people have ideas. You know, that's what Satan does. He puts you ideas independent of the Bible. Ideas. But here's where you find God. Let's start in the gospel. Well, you're in John 1. Let's go to John 5. Look at what Jesus says in John 5. The Bible tells you where you can find God. Jesus is speaking here to some people. And in John chapter 5, and in verse 39, Jesus is talking clearly where you can find the Messiah. The Bible says, search the scripture. Jesus is talking. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are which testify about the Baptist church. No, they are who testify of me, say this. Now, let's go back now from John to Luke 24. Just few pages to the back. Look in Luke chapter 24. And look in verse 20. 27, The people trying to argue with Jesus, these two disciples, try to argue after the crucifixion how the Messiah should be this way and the other. In Luke Gospel 24:27, says, "I begin in Moses and all the prophets." That's the entire Old Testament. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the thing concerning about himself. This book is not about making a tree or making you a good businessman or a good businesswoman or a moralist. This book is written so you can find Christ Jesus. Let's go to the back of the Bible. In Hebrew, in chapter 10. Look at in chapter 10 of Hebrew, verse 7, making a quotation of the Old Testament. Way back to the Bible in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7. Look at what the scripture said. "Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will of God." Look in verse 9. "Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God." He taketh away the first, and he may establish the second. In other words, this book has the first and second covenant of God. This book can tell the Israelites, wait for the Messiah. This book can tell the Gentiles and Israelites as well, the Messiah has come. Here it is, Jesus Christ himself. But if you read any other literature, you're going to be misled. You're going to be out on the field. Now, did Nathanael understood? Did he believe? Well, let's look. Verse 49, Nathanael said, "Thou art the Son of God." You see verse 49 in John 1? John 1, verse 49, "Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God." Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Of God. Amazing. Amazing. And look at what Jesus' answer was. He said, "You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." First, the Son of God. You are the Son of God. I realize this is what you are. When the Mormons come to me and say, "Who is Jesus?" When the Jehovah's Witness come to me and say, "Who is Jesus?" No, the Greeks said, I don't care what the Greeks said. Who is Jesus? Because only God. Remember Matthew 13? Only God can reveal to Peter, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Only God said, Jesus said, "You don't speak because of your kukutsa. You speak because God has revealed it to you." And look at how Jesus answered, verse 50. "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou?" You believe because of a sign, said? "Thou shalt see greater things than these. Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heavens open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." What is that? Well, Jesus talking to a theologian. That's in Genesis 28. Let's go over there. Genesis 28 and verse 12. Jesus is answering with a scripture. And Jesus said, you will see angels of God ascending and descending. Wow, what is that? Look at Genesis 28:12 on Jacob and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached the heavens, and behold, angels of God ascending and descending. That was a prophecy about the coming of Christ. Angels came from heaven and brought Jesus, and angels took Jesus to heaven. That was a prophecy. And Daniel knew if the Messiah will come, there has to be something spectacular, something marvelous, supernatural. Daniel knew, Nathanael knew, but he didn't know how to put it together. And then Jesus came and said, "Here's what it is. I am the fulfillment of that prophecy." You see, you cannot put prophecy together by your kukutsa. You have to put it by what Jesus said. Otherwise, you're going to end up way on the field. I am the fulfillment of that vision. I am the one who came down from heaven and will go up to heaven. Actually, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father except for me." You can know God unless you know Jesus and met him. But he not only said in John 1, 49, thou art the Son of God, he said, thou art the King of Israel. That is faith. Thou art the King of Israel. He surrendered his life to him. You know, in television now, you can see all kinds of propaganda, called advertising, but it's propaganda, against our governor for the propositions. And one of them is clever. One of them said, we voted a governor, not a king. And I thought for a moment, that's America today. They got a president, who cares? We do what we want to. The president wants to put in the Supreme Court somebody who knows the law and who loves the law and know how to interpret the law, so we don't want that. Where's the president? I told somebody in the coffee shop, you're talking about the president of the United States of America. He was introduced in South America, and in spite of what the television said, I have it set up that I can listen directly from the country. When the president of Argentina introduced President Bush, he said, the president of the world. A man who controlled the world in his hand, he said. We can disagree with him, but we respect him for his power. And if we're going to tell the president who's going to be in the Supreme Court. You see, that's democracy. That's very bad. Very bad. And so people take that into the spiritual life. I can do what I want. No, you have to do what God said. Is he king of your life? God said, come to church. God said, give in abundance for what you have to the Lord. God said, raise your children in the fear of God. And you on and on and on. God said to the husband, love your wife. How much? You love as Jesus loves the church. And you are a dead man. That's it. Crucify. Ladies, the Bible said, respect your husband. You see, there is a tremendous harmony in the scripture. But we go away from the scripture, we need psychology to help us to understand life. It's not crazy. It's because the Christians have not surrendered their life to the King of Israel. No wonder we find this gentleman, Nathanael, as a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Go with me to Matthew 10 and verse 2 and 3. There is the scripture where God nominee his followers. Matthew 10 is where the disciples are named. Verse 2. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Now look at verse 3. Philip and Bartholomew. Bartholomew is the Aramaic name for Nathanael. When you want to say Nathanael in Aramaic, which the Gospel of Matthew was written in Aramaic, then you said Bartholomew. When you want to say in Hebrew, you said Nathanael. Now I want to prove it to you. Go to John chapter 21. In John chapter 21, here is John, who was a Hebrew and who wrote the gospel in Hebrew. He writes the name in Hebrew. John 21, verse 2. Remember, after Jesus died, the disciples said, let's go fishing again. And there were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee. You see that? This man, who said in his life, Anything good will come from Nazareth? Are you kidding me? I'm a scholar. I know my Bible. And he didn't know Jesus. There were students in my seminary 35 years ago who were the same. He said, what do you study? Oh, I study to see how things go. Stupid. Excuse me for the vocabulary. Excuse me, wife. All right. Otherwise, I get spanking at home. But I tell you. You know, you go to seminary to see how things go? They think it's a business? Let me ask you the great question. Are you a Nathanael? You have read the Bible. You have often meditated upon divine truth. You can speak the language of theology and know all the historical events. But did you know Christ? Remember, there is an advantage here. He knows you. He knows you. You can deceive others, but you cannot deceive Christ. He knows your thought, and He knows you through and through. Will you respond to Christ like Nathanael? Not only Christ will change your life, not only will change your life, He will change your path. A lot of Christians need a psychologist. You know why? Because they have not met Christ. When you met Christ, He changed your life. And He makes your life straight with Him. Have you met Christ? Would you like to meet Christ? Will you talk to me? I'd be glad to explain to you again and again until you come to the truth that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, is the Savior. Father, with a humble heart today, we say thank you that you know us before we knew you. We say thank you, Father, that you move us in such a way. You move us in such a way that one day we saw Christ. Father, if someone is here without Jesus Christ, he knows all the theology, knows everything about it, but have no Jesus Christ in their heart, how we pray that such a one may find the mercy of God in their heart and should come to believe that Jesus is the Savior, the Messiah, the true Israelite of God. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Precious Redeemer, preach a hope. able to keep you
from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, the glory and majesty, dominion and wonders, both now and forever. Amen.